All of your relationships with spouse, family, and friends are important, but temporary. Your only eternal relationship is with God. Hi, I'm Rob West. We need the bonds of family and friends to help us thrive in this world, but they pale to the significance of your relationship with the Lord. Today, I'll give some practical ways you can draw closer to God. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I know what you're thinking. What's my relationship with God have to do with finances? Because this is a show about money, right? Yes, but it's also about our faith. And for Christians, faith and our finances have everything to do with our relationship with God. And the Bible gives us three principles to connect the dots. First, God created everything, and therefore He owns everything. Colossians 1:16 reads, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." Second, God gave us everything we possess. James 1:17 tells us, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So, God owns everything, but He's given us resources to use temporarily as His stewards. Last, God is not distant and detached. He wants a close relationship with you. James 4:8 reads, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." We draw near to God by obediently following His law. With over 2,300 verses in Scripture about money and possessions, God has made His desire quite clear. He wants us to manage money according to His principles. Our friend Howard Dayton points out that wisely managing money and the other resources God has blessed us with deepens our fellowship with Christ. Having a close relationship with Jesus is another way to describe what the Bible calls true riches. In Luke 16:11, Jesus indicates that God uses money as a test. He says, "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches?" Jesus is saying that how you handle money affects your spiritual life. If you manage it well, according to biblical principles, you'll naturally grow closer to Christ. If not, your fellowship with the Lord suffers. So, biblical money management is a very practical way to improve your spiritual life. But sometimes things get in the way of that. There are two kinds of disobedience that keep us from handling money God's way and growing closer to Him. The first is passive. It's just plain laziness. Some people don't want to take the time to organize their finances, make a budget, and track their spending. Doing those things might only take a few hours a month. Still, it's just too much to bother with. Worse, that same person will spend more time than that watching TV every night. As a result, intimacy with God suffers. Another person has a different obstacle to growing closer to God. It's an active or willful disobedience. For that person, money and possessions compete with Christ. Jesus tells us clearly how that will turn out. In Matthew 6:24, He says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Then there are people who think they can surrender every part of their lives to Christ except money. They might be quite good at making money, paying their bills on time, saving and investing, but they refuse to give Christ lordship over their finances, to follow all of the Bible's teachings. Maybe they stumble over tithing or other giving to God's kingdom. They have the resources, but they don't want to do it. Again, their intimacy with Christ suffers. Finally, there's the person who's not following biblical financial principles, but thinks his relationship with the Lord is just fine. To him, we might say, "What you don't know will hurt you. What are you missing out on?" You might think finances aren't interfering with your relationship with God, but how would you know? If that's you, perhaps you should commit to the Lord in earnest prayer and then follow through managing your money and possessions His way. You'll find what you need to get started by downloading the free FaithFi app. It will not only give you three ways to set up your budget based on the envelope system, it also has the best Christian financial content out there to help you grow closer to God by following His principles. Do that for 3 months and see if your relationship with the Lord is more intimate. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Oh, you shouldn't have. Ever say these words to someone? They're usually said when someone makes a gift to you, and not just any gift, I mean a gift that's unexpected, maybe extravagant. I remember saying these words to someone when they gave me a trip to Florida in the winter. Wearing shorts in January? Couldn't believe it. Generous people are a blessing to us, but no one is as generous as our Heavenly Father. James tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And the greatest gift He ever gave? His Son Jesus, crucified and resurrected for all who believe in His name. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
We're so thankful you joined us today for Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, our lines are open today for your questions. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We began today by talking about our desire to draw closer to God and to look at our finances as one of the opportunities to do that. You see, ultimately, if our goal is intimacy with the Father, how can money play a role in that? Well, think about it. You know, the way we handle money is really one of the most tangible expressions of what's important to us, where we've placed our trust. And if we recognize that God is our provider, our ability to be generous and to hold what God has entrusted to us loosely and give it away to those in need or to our local church or wherever the Lord might lead, it's a demonstration that we know that God's provision is enough and that He will continue to provide. Otherwise, I would hold it with a clenched fist. And so when we lean into that, understanding God's design and we're His creation and we are created to be workers and He entrusts His resources to us to accomplish part of what He's doing in the world through our generosity and to provide for our families, well, it's an opportunity to also grow us up in our faith through that daily walk with Him, our trust and dependence upon Him, demonstrating frustrated through our financial management. Well, as we wrestle with questions and topics today that you're concerned about and related to your finances, perhaps we can look at the deeper issues from each of these conversations, because really, money issues are ultimately heart issues, and at the core of them is really all about where we're at in our walk with Jesus. So let's lean into his word today, pull out the principles that we find and apply those to your financial decisions and questions. The number to call with whatever you're thinking about financially is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Pennsylvania. Hi, Vaughn. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, Rob. Thanks again for your show. Listening back into Larry Burgett days, but I'll get started here.
Great.
I was going along fine here. Got in my 50s, and I got my business mixed with my personal finances, and here's what I got right now. I have my main residence. I have a mortgage on that for $160K at 2.65% 10 years, and I have a small second residence. I have a mortgage on that at $140K at 3.125% for 15 years. And what we did there, like I said, had some issues at 50 years old downsizing company. So me and my son got in the rental business, bought some houses. So in short, we have 10 rental properties, no mortgages, because I had business loans for 5 years and then they wanted 1% above prime. And that's why I took the lower interest rate.
Yeah.
At the smaller amount. So I mixed my business with my personal. So I got the 2.6 instead of like the 5% loan. So
sure.
I got was saving. I thought money's money, didn't matter where it came from. But with that said, now I'm getting close to retirement. I do have, I'd say, some liquid, like $100K. Should I pay those mortgages off using my personal funds? But I'd also like to grow the business. You know, we have another house somewhat that could come due at any time that we might have to pay for if we want to buy it. So that's my question. What should I do?
Yeah, very good. So talk to me about the rental properties that you have. Did you say you have 10 of them?
Yes, 10 properties.
That's great. And all of those you own free and clear, with the exception of these two loans on your personal residences, correct?
That is. We bought houses flippers would not touch.
Wow.
I mean, we put our own money in it and work like dogs.
Yeah, I can imagine. And are they all cash flowing pretty well with renters?
Yes, we have cash. Honestly, $50K a year we make off these houses now.
Okay.
After expenses.
And what about just taking that cash flow and using that to pay off these mortgages?
That's your question to be answered. We do actually have, you know, somewhat of a surplus, like $40K in a money market for the business. Should we just keep letting that build and pay these off?
I mean, I would really focus on getting these paid off. I understand why you did it. And, you know, if we back up, I mean, one of the challenges with business is when we have a sole proprietorship or a small business, maybe with a, you know, a family member or something like that, a single partner, oftentimes we do allow them to get commingled with our personal finances. And that can be problematic in many ways, especially in the area of taxes, because it's more difficult to document the business related expenses and take the appropriate deductions. And so for that reason, what we want to often do is first and foremost, set up a legal entity for the business and then get a business, you know, credit card and open a business checking account. And then we want to pay ourselves a salary, you know, so that we have a clear delineation between your income and the working capital of the business. Obviously separate your receipts, track shared expenses, and then keep track of when you use personal items for business purposes, because you're going to need that for the IRS. And, you know, when you do those things and, you know, have separate books and, you know, keep things properly accounted for, then it just makes it so much easier to handle it from a tax standpoint to ensure that you're not paying any more taxes than you should. And depending on how you set up the legal structure, you could also pay yourself distributions out of profits that aren't subject, you know, for the same tax purposes on the FICA taxes. Beyond that, I like keeping
the mortgages on these properties, when we're talking about rental properties, separate from your personal finances. I'd tend, even if you have to pay a little bit more, and I understand why you did it, I'd rather keep the mortgages on the rental properties themselves. So if something happened catastrophic and you lost a property, we're not putting your primary residence in jeopardy. Now, I think given where you've come from and how well you've managed this business and how it's growing, and you mentioned the work that you put into it, and I can only imagine what you did if you bought homes in distress that you've flipped or turned around and are now renting and improved the properties. You know, you've built quite a portfolio of real estate, and that's tremendous. And given that you have this cash flow, and given the uncertainties of where we're headed with a recession and so forth, even though they're at a very low interest rate, 2.6 and, you know, 3 1/8, I would love to see you, after you build the reserve to an appropriate amount, and I think certainly it sounds like you're either there or close to it, I'd love for you to then start redirecting that cash flow into paying off these mortgages, so that perhaps even before you acquire another property, we get to a place where you're, you know, absolutely free and clear with your personal finances. Now you know that's shored up. And then moving forward, let's either buy new properties out of cash, or let's take mortgages that are, you know, collateralized by those rentals themselves. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, sir.
Yeah.
The only question, I'm already a little late, and those mortgages are already against my house, so I can't take them. I could take new mortgages out against the properties, but that's something I didn't want to do because I actually had, you know, I could use my 401k as a backup. If you said catastrophic, if something happens, yeah. I could take money out of there and actually pay them off if I had to.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a secure thing?
It does. I mean, obviously, we'd love to not, you know, have to tap into that. Depending on your age, you may have a penalty. Obviously, you're going to have some taxes. But yeah, if we're talking about a catastrophic event, that is there. And I love the fact that you're diversified among asset classes with both the stock portfolio as well as the real estate. And again, sounds like you've got a tremendous portfolio of real estate. So I think you're thinking correctly. I would just really prioritize, especially while you're cash flowing these properties so well, I'd prioritize eliminating that personal debt as soon as you can. And then if you decide to take on another mortgage for another property, just, you know, keep it at a minimum. Sounds like you've got good loan to equity personally, tremendous loan to equity on the rentals with no debt. So I think you're in a good spot. I'd keep going, but I'd prioritize getting out of debt once and for all. Thanks for your call, Vaughn. We'll be right back.
Do you believe a return to God is necessary in America? As stated by well-known teacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, revival is the Spirit working in extraordinary measure, a repetition to some degree of what happened at Pentecost. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join Pastor Steve Harrelson, Evangelist Dave Kistler, and Pastor Harold Vaughn as they present Creating an Atmosphere for God to Bring Revival to America, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your questions, or perhaps maybe you'd like to share a testimony of God's faithfulness in your life as you've applied these principles maybe for months or years. We'd love to hear either case. 800-525-7000 to Kentucky. Hey, Elijah, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. When I get a mortgage for 30 years and I start paying in interest, the interest goes toward the mortgage. How many years I'll be paying in interest before I start paying the principal, sir? I don't know if I'm putting it right.
You are, and what you're describing is with a mortgage, it's called amortized interest. And what you would want to look at is the amortization schedule that the mortgage company will provide, which will give you a breakdown of all of the payments. So if you have a 30-year mortgage, we're talking 360 payments, and they will determine in advance, unless, of course, you prepay the mortgage, exactly what portion of every payment goes to interest and what portion goes to principal. Now, with an amortized loan, what you will see is that the lion's share of it right at the beginning goes to interest, and a very small portion goes to the principal reduction, and that flips by the time you get to your last payment, where the vast majority is going to principal and just a very small amount is going to interest. And that's where that's how an amortized loan works. There is a point at which you pay in more principal than interest. It's considered the tipping point, where you kind of flip from the larger portion going to interest and the smaller portion going to principal, and then you tip over. And, with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage with an interest rate of 4%, which is a little lower than where we are today, but very typical, you'll reach that tipping point on a 30-year loan on your 153rd payment. So about 12 years and 9 months, nearly 13 years into a 30-year mortgage, so just shy of halfway. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Thank you, Rob. You have excellent show. I try not to miss it at all.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And listen, there's some great mortgage calculators out there, some amortization schedule calculators on the web. If you just, put in your search engine, search engine of choice, mortgage calculator, you can find all the calculators you want, and you can run different scenarios that show you, based on your initial loan, what your amortization schedule will be, and then you can solve for an additional amount per month or per year. You can solve for a certain early payoff target date, and then it'll tell you how much you need to send extra per month or per year. I mean, you can run all of those scenarios, so it might be interesting for you just to get in there and look at how all of that works out. But thank you for calling and for your kind remarks about the program, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. We also are grateful when you send your emails to askrob@faithfi.com, and let's tackle some of those right now. This one comes to us from Janice. Here's what she writes. Two of our children are living outside of the Lord's will. We don't endorse their lifestyles, but we want to leave them an inheritance when we go to be with the Lord. We've prayed about it, but we would love your insights into what we should do. Thank you. We love your ministry. And Janice, I would say this is a challenging one. We actually opened with this topic yesterday, so you may want to go listen to yesterday's broadcast of Faith and Finance and listen to my interview with Ron Blue, where he talks about this. And, you know, he said one of the questions you need to ask is when you're thinking about an inheritance related to children is, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? And the reason he's proposing you ask that question is money can do a lot of things, both for good and for, you know, for in a not so good situation, in the sense that it can take a lifestyle that's moving away from the Lord and accelerate that by, you know, adding money to the equation. It can rob a provider, you know, let's say, you know, the breadwinner of the family. It can rob that spouse of the opportunity to provide for the family. It can really, you know, harm someone if it's not done properly. And so I would think through, just as you have, kind of where they're at spiritually, where they're at in terms of their financial maturity, and really think about what the implications of that inheritance are, and allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to really prompt you as to the right approach to inheritance, whether that's prioritizing giving it all away during your lifetime or a death, or to, in fact, bless a child with an inheritance. But I think considering the implications of that to the best of your ability and being open to following the leading of the Lord is really critical there. I would also say that you know, Ron's book, Splitting Heirs, is probably the best book on this topic to really think through not the mechanics of wealth transfer, the tools and strategies, but really the questions to ask and how to approach it from a biblical perspective. And Janice, if you know, if this is a season where this child is living outside of the Lord's will, you know, plans can always change, but this might be the time to say, you know what, perhaps we're, for this reason, going to change what we ultimately might like to do if this child comes back to the Lord. Or you may decide just to bless them lavishly because that you believe would actually you know, make a real difference in their lives as you give generously. So I would just make that a matter of prayer and seek some wise counsel, and also pick up a copy of that book, Splitting Heirs. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. We appreciate you writing to us. Quickly to our second email. This one comes to us from Eric. He says, our daughter is buying a home. We're not rich, but we'd like to help pay for some remodeling. Should we use a credit card that's offering a very low interest rate for 18 months, or should we borrow from our retirement? We respect your advice. And thanks, Eric, for writing to us. You know, I would prefer you not do either of them, but definitely don't borrow from your retirement assets. I would just ask, Eric, whether these improvements could be made on a pay-as-you-go basis. Try prioritizing what needs to be done and see if you have some margin in your budget to make that happen without borrowing. You know, what I'm hearing is that if your only two options are credit cards or borrowing from your retirement, I think you're not in a position financially to do this. And so let's trim lifestyle and perhaps commit over time to seeing how, as you have the resources, how you can help in the future. Thanks for writing to us. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
And running down, I missed the last two checks, and I fell and broke my back. And I did not have to have surgery.
Have you ever been encouraged by AFR?
I tell you, it's a miracle how that was.
Whether it's a life-changing event or just a helpful voice in your day, we'd like to hear how AFR has been there for you. Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
Praise the Lord and thank God for AFR.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That means our heart follows our money. Well, where is your heart today based on your spending? Is it where you want it to be, or perhaps do you need to make some changes? Let's talk about that and any financial question you have today. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got lines open today, perhaps one just for you. 800-525-7000, whether you want to talk about paying down debt or perhaps your spending plan. Maybe it's your long-term savings and retirement assets, your investments or your credit score or anything in between. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we could put you on anonymously as well if you'd like. I'd also love to hear your testimonies. Perhaps you've been applying these principles for a long, long time, and you've seen them work in your life, and you'd like to be an encouragement to somebody else. Share that with us as well. 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, in the news today, a credit card debt hit a record, are you ready to this? Nearly $1 trillion last quarter. That's a nearly $400 billion increase from the prior 3 months. That's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Higher prices due to inflation and rising interest rates are to blame, making it more difficult for borrowers to repay their debts. And so this is an area that is a real problem. If you find yourself with these higher interest rates in credit card debt, you're having difficulty getting that paid off, I would offer two suggestions. Number one is if you have less than 4,000, why 4,000? Well, that's just the number I've seen to kind of tip in one direction or the other in terms of the effectiveness of these strategies. So less than 4,000, I'd say try to pay that off yourself by just snowballing the debt. What is that? Well, you just line up those credit card bills, smallest to largest balance, not looking at the interest rates, but just smallest to largest balance. Go back to work on your budget, your spending plan. And if we can help with that, faithfi.com, the FaithFi app will be a great tool for you. But what you're looking to do is eliminate any unnecessary spending, especially in the discretionary area. But if you can eliminate fixed expenses as well, let's do that. What you're trying to do is free up margin so that beyond the monthly payments, which you'll want to keep all these cards current, of course, we're not talking about allowing them to go past due. So paying the minimums on all of them. But whatever you can free up on a monthly basis as margin, we want to attack that balance that is the smallest. The reason is the benefit of being able to pay that off relatively quickly is going to give you the motivation and encouragement to keep going. And really, the only plan that you can actually finish is the one that's the best. So we want to tackle that balance that's the smallest. That one's paid off. We tear it up and we move to the next smallest balance. And what the studies have shown is that when you approach it that way, you have the greatest likelihood of succeeding in paying it all off. Also, I kind of like the idea that you're doing the hard work. It's not a quick fix, but I think that's going to result in you changing your behaviors, starting with that spending plan so that once you're out of debt, we don't ever go back there again. Now, if you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, I recommend a debt management program. My friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org work with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. They're going to get those interest rates down. You'll have one level monthly payment that you send to Christian Credit Counselors. They'll send it onto your credit cards. And with those reduced interest rates and a fixed payment, you'll pay that debt off 80% faster. It's really effective. They're godly folks. It's a nonprofit. They want to serve you and support you. And you can find out more at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000 to Georgia. Hi, Autumn. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. My question was this. We had just purchased a home, and we had worked really hard to pay off all of our debt before we purchased the house, and we did get the house under a mortgage, so that would have been like our only debt, really. No car payments or anything like that.
That's great.
And after we moved into the house, we used a little bit of extra money to replace some carpet because it was really old, and when we did that, we found some major material defects with the home. There was like a lot of toxic mold, and we had to rip out like a bunch of the, like, it was a nightmare. But anyway, we incurred $54,000 in debt because of all this, but I had to run back up on everything trying to get this house livable because, I mean, we didn't have anywhere else to go. We had just got this mortgage. Like, you know, we had to live in the house. So,
yeah.
Now we're trying to get back out of all of that. So,
yes.
So
what kind of mortgage did you end up with on this, Autumn?
They put it under a Freddie Mac, I think, mortgage after we did. It's a 3.7% interest rate.
Okay.
And we put 3% down on it because that's just what we had to be able to put down on it. So
what do you owe on that?
I think it's $174,000.
Okay. And what is the, what did you buy the house for?
$181,000.
Okay. Yeah. So you would have had, about $125,000 mortgage, but now it's $175,000 roughly because of these unknown defects with the home.
No, we didn't put that on, and we didn't do like a HELOC or anything like that. We didn't take out any equity in the house because we just bought it. Like literally 45 days after we closed on the house, we found all of this stuff. So it's we have a $25,000 personal loan that we took out to handle some of it, which has like a 7.5% interest rate. And then the rest is just on credit.
Wow.
Credit cards.
Wow.
That I had to run up to fix all of this stuff.
Yeah. So in addition to the $174,000, you have $25,000 personal loan. And then how much do you owe in credit cards?
Probably like 25.
Wow. Yeah.
25,000.
Yeah. And you're paying the minimums on all the credit cards, and then you're covering the mortgage and the personal loan. Are you able to add anything extra?
Add anything extra. I mean, so probably yes. So what I've been doing is, you were just kind of talking about this with the last person, paying down the smallest one first. And I am lucky enough to have, and I definitely don't just pay the minimum balance. I try to say if it's like 60, I try to at least pay 100 if that's what I have. Like, you know, yeah. I try to pay something extra if I have it just to, I guess, kind of be hacking away at it. But two of them are on a 0% interest card.
Yeah.
Until like a certain amount of time. So I'm trying to really work at getting those paid down first.
All right. And do you have any liquid savings?
Anyway. No.
Yeah,
all of my savings went to just getting into this house.
Sure.
Like beforehand,
yeah.
I basically just paid off all of my debt, got all of the debt paid off. And then, the house is cheaper than the apartment that I was in. So,
yeah. Let me ask you this. Was there an inspection done on the property?
There was an inspection done on the property. Like I went through, I think it's Matthew 18:15-20, where it talks about if you have an issue with a believer, what you should do. So I went through all of those steps with the people because they were believers as well. And they're basically just denying any knowledge of it. I also paid an attorney. Some of that debt came from trying to pay an attorney to write a demand letter and to try to go through the process of the court system. But these people basically knew they could get away with it. And they just did it for, I guess, a lack of faith that they were going to get provision if they did the right thing. So at this point, I've just decided to move on and forgive them so I can heal with it and just try to pay the debt off, you know?
Yeah.
It's just going to be more debt to try to have a lawyer, so.
Yeah, I certainly understand, Autumn. Well, and my heart goes out to you, and I certainly appreciate where you've landed with this and your desire to honor the Lord and do the right thing with how you've even approached the dispute, which clearly, just based on what you're describing, you were not treated fairly. And, you know, this could go as far as, I mean, it's certainly negligence but in breach of contract, but it really sounds like there was even some fraud involved if they materially kept that from you. Let's talk about where you go from here on the other side of this break. Hang on, we'll be right back.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith Fi app?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Coming up in just a few moments, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry's going to give us an update on the corporate engagement work he's been doing, representing shareholders and their faith values before a lot of the biggest corporations here in the United States. Jerry's doing some great work, and he'll update us on that in just a moment. We're talking with Autumn. Before the break, she was sharing with us really a challenging situation that she and her husband had been in, and although I'm just incredibly encouraged by how she's approached it. She and her husband bought a home for about $181,000. They've got a $174,000 mortgage, which is actually lower than the rent they were paying. The challenge is they moved in and found out there was it certainly seems like negligent misrepresentation and perhaps even fraud involved, in the sense that there was known issues with the property that were not disclosed to the tune of about $50,000. And she's followed a biblical pattern from the book of Matthew on how to approach these believers in reconciling this situation. They wouldn't really hear of it and have denied everything. She had engaged the services of an
attorney, but has decided for her own healing and she and her husband and just to be able to move on, she's just going to take on this debt and try to repay it as quick as she can and move on. And Autumn, you know, as you look at this, I mean, obviously this is not anything you don't know, and it sounds like you've been managing this incredibly well despite the situation. The only thing I might offer is, number one, I'd love for you to have at least a little bit in savings, and I realize that might seem counterproductive, especially with a few of these credit cards at probably high interest rates, even though a few are at 0% right now. I'd try to save around $1,000 just as some sort of emergency fund that you can fall back on, just so you're, when the unexpected comes, and it will, that you don't have to add any more credit card debt and we can get this going in the right direction. You know, I'm not a big fan of the balance transfer game. Every time you do that, you're going to pay probably a 2 to 3% fee on the balance that you're transferring. So there is a cost to it, and not to mention just all the moving around on your credit report and just having to keep up with it all. You could look at debt management for this. I mean, because you've got such a significant amount of credit card debt, you could go into a credit counseling program with ChristianCreditCounselors.org. I'd at least check it out. They'll help you get those interest rates down. They'll be permanently reduced, and so you won't have to worry about, you know, jumping around from card to card. And then you can just focus on paying that one level monthly payment. And as you have extra, you can absolutely prepay that debt through your payment to Christian Credit Counselors as it becomes available. I would try to really focus on the credit card debt first. Just keep the personal loan, you know, paid on time. And then once the credit card debt is paid off, obviously you'll flip over to the personal loan. And, you know, it's going to take some time, and this is a really unfortunate situation. And yet, obviously, and you know this, but keeping your lifestyle as modest as possible to free up as much margin as you can so you can attack the credit cards and then the personal loan to try to get those paid off, obviously, is the name of the game right now. And then you guys will be able to move on from this, pay it off, and then obviously at that point you can focus on building up, you know, assets for retirement and, you know, perhaps increasing your giving and, you know, looking at other short and medium term goals that you have for saving. But how does that sit with you? And did you have any other questions?
Yeah, that's really good actually, because I definitely have been using the balance transfer stuff. So it's good to hear that that is not a good approach. I did call Christian Credit Counseling because I hear them advertise all the time on the radio station, and he just suggested that I wait until the credit cards go out of the 0%. I guess because they can't get them that low, just until, or like right before or something like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that is a good idea, and saving up $1,000. So if we're, I think we should be getting an income tax return of like $4,000. So you would suggest, instead of just chunking that whole entire bit on debt, just to like set aside $1,000 of that in case there's like an emergency.
I would. I'd hate for you to not have anything and have to really just rely exclusively on credit cards for something unexpected, especially since you're living so close, you know, to paycheck to paycheck. I mean, it sounds like you're doing a great job managing it all. So I understand it's not easy, but I think just having that little bit of emergency savings will be good, just so you've got something there for the unexpected. And then obviously throw the rest of it at these credit cards, get these balances, you know, coming down. Let's focus on, while you're waiting, you know, if you've got a credit card with a high interest rate, I'd probably attack that with your tax refund. And then you could change your withholdings. If you're getting $4,000 back, fill out a new W-4 form, because the name of the game moving forward is to get that money in your paycheck every month, so you have more margin to send to debt reduction as opposed to giving the government an interest-free loan for another 12 months.
Yeah, that is wise. So if we have, let's see, we have three dependents, so I guess that would be the withholdings need to be like three.
Yeah, it's more than that, because so if you download the W-4 from IRS.gov, there's a worksheet on there, and it's going to factor in all of your expected combined income, your dependents, any deductions you're planning on over and above the standard deduction. I mean, they'll walk you through a process to be able to ultimately fill it out, and then when you turn that in, that'll change your withholding with your employer or your husband's employer and get that checkup, which is going to be key right now during this season while you're trying to pay back these loans.
Okay. All right, Rob. Well, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Autumn. I hate to hear about this situation, but I'm really encouraged by not only how you approached it spiritually and just trying to honor God's word in the process, but just your diligence in paying it back. You're going to get there, I'm sure of it. And if we can help further along the way, let us know. God bless you, Autumn. Thanks for calling today. Hey, we're going to take a quick turn to a different direction before we go back to the phones. It's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer stops by to give us his week in review on the markets and the economy. But today, maybe a slightly different approach. It's earnings season. That means a lot of shareholder meetings. And Jerry, in his work at Boyer Research, does a lot of representation of Christians and their values before these companies through proxy voting and shareholder meetings and corporate engagement. And Jerry, I'd love for you to give us an update on what you've been working on as of late.
Yeah, happy to. By the way, we can touch on markets if you like as well, because I'm tracking those. But, sure. You know, today we have the Apple Inc. board meeting, and that's a company that has a lot of profile, largest company in the world typically, but, you know, by market cap. And they've been taking some controversial stances on some issues. You know, for instance, being one of the early companies to offer a, quote, abortion benefit in response to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And there are some conservative groups that have called for a non-retention vote on Al Gore, who they feel, I think with some good reason, is largely a political appointee rather than a financial expert, you know, or a technology expert. Right. He did not, in fact, invent the internet. and even a non-retention vote on Tim Cook, who's the CEO for the board. Yes. He would stay as CEO. I don't expect those to pass, but I think what we're seeing is that evangelical Christians and other conservatives are starting to really speak up. There's a proposal on the ballot which looks at critical race theory and the idea that when you're doing DEI training, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that you don't have something that says, well, some groups are disadvantaged and the other groups are privileged. And if you're privileged, you don't get to say anything. You're just you're just automatically in the bad guy category, and there's nothing you can do about that. And that might be a form of reverse discrimination, and that might lead to legal liability and reputational backlash. So that's a proposal that's on the ballot. There's one put forward by a liberal group that I kind of like, which is that Apple's been doing these things called concealment clauses, where if somebody is sexually harassed and they give that person, typically a woman, hey, here's money. Don't talk about it anymore. Mm. Well, there was a proposal last year that said, we don't want that anymore. we don't want any hush money. And it passed, and the people who proposed that couldn't get a meeting with any members of the board of Apple. So there's a proposal this year saying, listen, if we have a proposal on something like this and it passes, we should be able to get a meeting. You work for us. Now, it was a liberal group that put that forward, but as a Christian, I'm against sexual harassment. Sure. You know, it's sexual abuse is I think, deeply offensive to God, and there should be accountability with that. So we can be a little bipartisan on this as well. I think the bigger picture here is that, look, a lot of Christians own stock in Apple. I don't have any problem with that. Some people have a problem with that. They think because of their policies, it's immoral. I think it's up to the conscience of the individual Christian. But I would say, you know, maybe it's time to speak up. So that might be a little late. It's at noon today. You have to have your control number to log on. But, you know, we're entering annual meeting season, and there's going to be a lot of this. And we're going to see a lot of abortion proposals. And we're also going to see a lot from conservative groups as well.
Mm. Well, we've certainly historically abdicated our responsibility, I believe, as believers in stepping up and voicing our values, our faith values, before these companies. Those that don't share our values are certainly expressing their opinions, and so we need to be present, right, Jerry?
We do. It's the first thing we need to be, present. Are there 10 righteous? If there are 10 righteous, God will spare the city. I'm not saying that Apple is necessarily Sodom and Gomorrah, but the principle still applies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jerry, 30 seconds for you. Just give us a thumbnail sketch of where we're at economically.
The jobs market was pretty good today, which means the Fed is probably going to hike more. And the Fed pretty much said that earlier this week, which is why markets are down. I still think it's fairly likely we have a recession later this year, but I don't think it'll be a deep one. And we have not yet beaten inflation.
Yeah. Well, that's a good summary, Jerry, of where we stand today. Appreciate the work you're doing on the front lines, my friend, and representing believers before some of the biggest corporations across this country. This is really important work, and we're grateful for you and your insights. Thanks for stopping by.
God bless.
All right. Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research and the columnist at World Opinions. He's also the author of The Maker versus the Takers. You'll want to check that out. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. It's my privilege to come alongside you, hopefully to encourage and equip you to be a faithful steward of God's resources. Hope you have a great weekend. Come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.